as always, was fantastic. But your generosity through your love offering was well above what I humbly deserve. And it means a lot to me that you either think that much of me or my wife and my two kids, whichever the case may be. I appreciate the way you expressed that through your love offering, as well as the gift that you gave me with this new watch. Many of you made a joke that it was to remind me that I needed to be through by 12 o'clock. I will not hold to that, but I do appreciate the gift. I appreciate the other gift of sending Amanda and I away to Hilton Head this upcoming March for the Restore Conference. This is the third time that y'all have sent Amanda and I there, and we deeply appreciate it every time we are able to get away, and it's so very kind of you all to allow that to happen. But also, someone gave me a thank you note, and if you want to remain anonymous, you feel free to do that. But the words that were written in this thank you card meant a lot to me. It was heartfelt, and so it was not signed. If you would own up to this in secret with me, I would really appreciate it. I would like your name on this card, and I want to keep it dear. I'm going to hold on to this card regardless. But if you pin this card to me, please, if you want me to know who you are, if you would just maybe get with me sometime and let me know. It says thank you on the front. It's got little dimples on it, kind of like a golf ball. So if that was you, if you want me to know who you are, if you just would let me know, I would greatly appreciate that. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I ask that you turn to Mark chapter 10. These verses that we're going to read are verses that we just read together during our baby dedication this morning, our children's dedication this morning. And so I thought it was very important that we go back and maybe touch on these verses today, the importance of these verses and why Jesus felt it was necessary to bless children. We do know that these children, as it was on the dedication bulletin, they are a wonderful and precious gift from God. So if you would, just stand and follow along as we read from Mark 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. You may be seated, and may God add a blessing to the remainder of this service. So why do you feel that Jesus said, Let the little children come unto me? What was the significance behind that? At other points through the New Testament, we read of this very same verse, these very same experiences. And typically, children would be brought unto Jesus so that he could just lay hands on them, so that he could pray over them. In a sense, as a dedication of what we just did today, Jesus would lay his hands upon those children. He would pray over them. And could you imagine how that would be? I know many of you have told me that you remember some of the patriarchs of this church who have already passed us by, who would pray here on Sunday mornings or Sunday night or any given worship service, and you could tell that their prayer was literally being powered by the Holy Spirit, and that you knew that they were so very close to God as they prayed and as they opened up their concerns to God. But could you imagine how powerful of a moment it would be for you to literally give your child up to Jesus, and he place his hand upon that child. Jesus would place his hand upon that child and would pray and would utter words to his heavenly Father. How powerful, how beautiful of a picture that must have been. But I take you to 2018, to October the 14th. And we speak of the power that Jesus himself had as he prayed unto his Father. You and I have that very same power. We don't pray as Jesus prayed. We don't have that power as Jesus had, that holiness as Jesus had. But we have the ability to pray just as Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. Because if you've called upon him to be your saving grace, guess what? He is your heavenly Father. And you are one of his children. And so that's why it's very important that we do have these dedications, that parents understand they need to give back to God what is rightfully His. And so we should take these situations not for granted, per se, and just think that, oh, it's just a time that we come and we dress our child up beautifully to display before the church. We display our child before God Almighty. And we should display our children before God in all that we do. We should display our lives before our children, just as Jesus displayed His life. And so that's what Jesus was saying here, as He realized the importance of blessing those children. And that He wanted those children to come unto Him. And Matthew himself even documented this very same event. In Matthew 19:13, he says, "Then the children were brought to Jesus for Him to place His hands on them and pray." I remember as a child being at Oak Ridge in our children's Sunday school class, and I don't think Sunday school information that we get now is like it used to be with, it may be, I don't know, I don't look at it very often anymore, but there used to be the little posters on display that came with every lesson, and they used to be very vibrant in color. They were pretty big posters, and I always remember as a child the one of Jesus kind of sitting on a rock with His arms extended out, and all of these little children were just flocked to Jesus. And He had His hands around them and His arms around them, and He was bringing those children unto Him. And as I relished on this day that we have here today and the other baby dedications that I've been a part of, even with my own children, I think about how Jesus wraps His arms around our children and He brings them in. And I say our children, but I say you too. He wraps His loving arms around you and He will bring you unto Him. And that's something that you should take great comfort in, knowing that just because you've grown older, you're still a child of God, and He still has you wrapped in His arms. He still shelters you from the storms of life. And so we are to instill that in our very own children at a very early age, that we show them the importance of recognizing and knowing that they can always run to the sheltering arms of their Heavenly Father. I know that I will let my two children down many, many times, and have already let them down many, many times in their short life that they've lived. But they can run, you can run into the Heavenly Father at any time. You may let Him down, you may disappoint Him, but He's always there to bring you back in. He's always there to welcome you back in, just as Jesus called unto these little children to come unto Him. We see that the disciples tried to turn the children away, but Jesus said, "Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." As we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, it says in Jesus' words that He was displeased with what His disciples were trying to do, meaning that He was very disappointed that His disciples did what they did. He rebuked His disciples. He was upset that they even had the mindset to not allow these children to come unto Him. So I think that's one reason why Jesus felt the need to proclaim the blessing publicly aloud to these children. He wanted the people around Him to see that these children are just as important as you adults. And that I want these children to come into Me so that I can bless them, so they can understand and know that they too can enter the kingdom of God. But initially I could see that there's potentially maybe two puzzling elements to this story. First, as the question has already been asked to you this morning, why did the disciples try to keep the children away from Jesus? And then secondly, what did Jesus mean when He said, "Let the children come to Me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these"? What exactly is going on here? I think it's very important for you and for me and for all people to remember that during Jesus' time, children were not regarded necessarily as what they are regarded as now. They weren't looked upon as precious little children. Their parents, their family members may have thought this, but in a general poll, the society, the beliefs of that time were that children were to be seen and not heard. And so many cultures today, however, we know that they are really the opposite of what was taught during the days of Jesus. Many cultures felt that children now, rather, are especially sweet. They're always innocent. And even they carry a little bit of wisdom. Now, we can say that children are sweet, and sometimes they are very innocent. But we know, too, that sometimes that sweetness leaves them, and they are not always very innocent. But the Jewish culture in that day probably did not see these children in this particular way for a couple of reasons, but I want to give you two of those today, which is probably why the disciples hindered or attempted to hinder the children to come to them, or to come to Jesus, rather. The disciples most likely rebuked those bringing the children to Jesus because they felt that bringing those children to Jesus at that current time was socially improper, that it was something that was against society's rules, and it shouldn't have been done. He shouldn't have been bothered. And they also thought that the children, in a nutshell, was going to be a bother to Jesus. You think about that. We don't know exactly how many children this was that was brought to him, but you figure here's Jesus walking and he's getting ready to teach, or maybe he's just getting ready to present himself, and all of a sudden 10, 15, 20 children are just flocking to him. You know, as an adult, if that happens to you, that might be kind of bothersome. Some of you that teach kindergarten or pre-K or even elementary or middle school, you can attest that when a ton of kids come running to you at one time and you've got all these things in your mind, it can somewhat be a bother. So the disciples were thinking that they didn't want these children to come up and bother Jesus and waste his time. But we can rejoice in knowing that it's definitely not a waste of Jesus' time. And we are glad, or we should be glad, that Jesus always saw the importance of making time for the little children. And so I'll ask you this question this morning. Do you ever feel sometimes in your life that maybe you're a bother? Maybe to your coworkers, your spouse, your family? Or do you ever feel that sometimes maybe you are a bother to Jesus Christ? That you maybe do not want to bother Jesus with the things that are going on in your life? You may feel as those things that are going on in your life are not important to him, and that he doesn't want to hear what you have to say. He doesn't want to hear what you have laying on your heart. But just as he rebuked his disciples, Jesus always makes time for his children. He always makes time for you. He can make time for you at any point in your life. If we all stopped right now and bowed down and cried holy and lamented our hearts to Jesus Christ right now, every one of us, he would begin to hear and he would begin to do a mighty work within that prayer as each one of us lifted a different concern to him. You are never a bother to Jesus Christ. You should never feel that your life is a bother to him. You should never feel that your life is a bother to anyone in particular. Because we are here to serve God. We are here to make sure that we are doing what is a part of his will, and that we should not worry about what others think of us. Know that you're not a bother to God. Know that you are a child of the one true King and that he loves you. He loves you so much that he gave his only life to you, his only life to you, so that you could have life eternal. He willingly gave it all up. Something that we must understand, as he said, let the children come unto me, is that children, even in the days of Jesus, were very needy, were very dependent, and we know that they really didn't know anything about life. From a social aspect, they may not have known that it was socially improper to maybe run up to Jesus. They didn't know. Children always need our guidance. And that's why it's so important that anytime our doors are open here or in any church that you choose to worship in, that anytime we're able to gather together, that we should make sure that our children are here, that we should make sure that we bring our children here, that we should make sure that we put God and our children before anything else in our lives so that they'll always understand and see that God comes first and then all the other things of life fall into place after we put God first. It's so very important that we instill that in their minds as they see the life that you live. But what's more important than instilling in their minds the importance of coming to church, we know that when we instill that in their design of how they are to worship God, it will eventually, through the working of the Holy Spirit, be here, instilled in our children's hearts. And that's what we want. Because we know these children that are here today, our youth who are here today, it is going to be their responsibility to make sure that this church continues to operate as we continue to live our lives and pass away. That's why we must raise up our children in the way that God wants them to go. Not in the way that we want them to go, through the flesh, but through the leading of the Holy Spirit is what we are to do. We also know that children function based on emotion only, and really don't have much capability of logic or reason. They learn that. Once again, it goes back to what do you teach them at home. They see how you react to situations. They see how you are when things don't go the way you like. And so their logic and their reasoning is developed by watching you. So if they see you living a life like the Lord Jesus Christ wants you to live and has commanded you to live, they're seeing perfect examples of what it means to live the life that Jesus has called you to live, and what it means to be blessed by Jesus Christ, and why Jesus Christ always beckoned the children to come unto Him. Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Three scriptures I want to share with you this morning that particularly compare believers to children. Believers, no specific age here, but compares the believer of Jesus Christ to children. Luke 10:21 reads, "At that time he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, because this was your good pleasure." Galatians 4:19 reads, "My children, I am again suffering labor pains for you until Christ is formed in you." 1 John 4:4 reads, "You are from God, little children, and have you conquered them? Because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." That is a very comforting verse, one that we really should hold fast to know that the one that Jesus Christ has already defeated and conquered for you and for me, he is not greater than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ himself is far greater than anyone, and we know that he is much greater than his enemy, Satan. Jesus also speaks throughout the New Testament on the importance of focusing on children and raising them in the way that would bring him honor and bring him glory. For that's the ultimate reason why we should bring our children here, not because we know it's the right thing to do, but it brings Jesus Christ honor. It brings him glory when he sees children here, when he sees you putting forth the effort to get your children or your grandchildren ready and you bring them here. You know, we try to please man, we try to please others, and trust me, it puts a huge smile on my face when I see our large crowd of children who gather here on Sunday mornings for children's church. But think about the one whose heart is pleased even more so than mine or anyone else's. Think about the smile that is on God's face when he sees you being obedient and you enjoyably get your children ready for church, even though there's a battle of what to wear and what not to wear, and that there's kicking and screaming, and there's, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that. I want to watch TV. I don't want to go to church right now. But then we get them here. God knows what you go through. But what a blessing it is to show the children the importance of gathering in his house and worshiping Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:3-4 says, "Truly I tell you," these are the words of Jesus, he said, "unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child, this one is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says in Mark 10:15, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." This is the words of Jesus Christ. If you do not have that childlike faith, and if you don't hold fast to God's word, you will not enter the kingdom of God. Jesus' words are plain and simple. There's no in-between. There's no deviation of what he has commanded, of what he tells us. He says, whoever does not, just like whomever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hold fast to your faith. Teach our children the importance of coming to know who Jesus Christ is and what he means in your individual life. What he truly means for you. Jesus' command here to his disciples, when he said, "Let the little children come unto me," it reveals numerous truths about Jesus. And I want to share those with you in closing this morning. So listen to these truths that I have received as I've read this, and I'm sure you will agree with these wholeheartedly. The number one truth is that children need to be blessed by the Lord. Now, when I use the word child this morning, don't think about the little children that we see here today, but also think about who you are in your walk with Christ. Whether you're 10 or whether you're 80, you're still a child of God if you believe in him. So children need to be blessed by the Lord. The Lord wants to bless his children. Parents should be encouraged to bring their children to Jesus at an early age and teach them his ways. Do not teach them the ways of the world. You must teach them the ways to the cross. Jesus has regard for the weakest and the most vulnerable among us. And now I do truly speak about our young children here today, our young children in this world that we live in, how vulnerable they are and how they don't have direction unless you give it to them. And that's one reason why, teachers, you play such a vital role in our public school systems. You who teach here in the church, you play such a vital role in teaching them that you are there for them. But even if you ever fail them, that Jesus Christ is there for them and he will never fail them. Don't ever take for granted your job and that you were placed in the wrong place at the wrong time. It is always the right time for anybody, especially when you're involved in the lives of children. We must teach them the ways of our Lord and Savior. No matter how compassionate Jesus' followers are, or no matter how compassionate you are, we must understand and always remind ourselves that Jesus himself will always be more compassionate than we ever hope to be. That's why we should always direct people to Jesus. He will give them ultimate compassion. Sometimes our compassion runs out. Sometimes our faithfulness for others may run out. But we know that Jesus' compassion never fails. He will never run out of compassion for those whom he loves. Those who come to Christ must do so in childlike, listen to this word, humility. Childlike faith and childlike simplicity. Humility, faith, and simplicity. We make it so difficult. We try to confuse God's word. We try to manipulate God's word. And if we would just take it for what God's word says, life would be so much simpler. Not always easy, but it would be much simpler for you and for me if we take God's word for what it is and we don't try to construe it to fit our specific need. That we take it, we hide it in our hearts, and then we also go out and we teach it. And we show children the importance of why Jesus wanted them to come unto him so that he could bless them. Why Jesus wants to bless you. Like children who indirectly trust their parents, believers should always directly trust God. Faith is not about knowing everything, nor is faith about doing everything right. You know, a lot of times I feel that's what keeps some people from serving because they're afraid they're not going to do something right. They're afraid they're going to make a mistake and that man may ridicule them. They may be made fun of. But you're not doing it for man. You are doing it for God. And that's what he wants. He wants you to understand and know that your faith in him is all that matters. It is not knowing that no matter what happens, our Father will take care of us. That's something else that you need to remind yourself of. No matter what happens to you in life, God is going to take care of you. Unfortunately, we do know that sometimes he does not ultimately take care of us here on earth, and that he takes care of us when he calls us home and he heals us from this earth. If that's a part of his will, that's what we have to accept and understand and know that it's his will be done and not mine or your will be done. All Jesus simply wants is for you to trust in him. Even when life is terrifying, even when life is sad. I read a quote in an article this week that an individual prayed specifically for their neighborhood to be spared in Panama City. They earnestly lifted their concern to God for their neighborhood to be spared. And only one house survived in 3-block radius. Only one house was left standing. And this individual said, "How can this be? I prayed to God that he would spare my house, he would spare my neighborhood, and it was not spared." We have to understand and know that this is our Father's world. And we have to just simply believe that he will provide. Unfortunately, these types of events that happen in our lives are a testament of our faith and how we will respond. how we treat our children, how we teach our children at an early age, how will they respond to calamities in life is how you treat them now and how you show them now what you do when life is not fair. John 6:37 reads, and this too is the words of Jesus Christ, "Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out." What do you have to do so that you won't be cast out? Just come unto Him. You won't be rebuked by Him. You won't be shunned by Him. He won't push you away. The Holy Spirit won't direct you in another path. Jesus Christ, as they were, His arms on the cross when they were nailed, wide open, far apart as far as the east is from the west, His arms were there, spread out on that cross. His arms are always like that to bring you unto Him. And that's all He wants. Jesus truly loves the little children of this world. Jesus loves all of His children of this world. He is always ready to bless them. He is always ready to bless you. He is always ready to bless anyone. Whomever will call upon the name of the Lord shall become a child of His. As a child sitting here today, young or old, have you felt the blessings of the Lord? Have you felt that Jesus Christ loves you with all of His heart? Have you experienced that? And if you have, my next question is this as we conclude. Have you taught that in your home? Have you taught your grandchildren, your children, your school children at the public school system? Many teachers here today. Do you show them Christ-like love? And that Jesus Christ is ready to bless anyone who is willing to come unto Him. Come unto Him. He will not rebuke you. He's waiting. He's waiting for you. Let us pray. Father God, I do thank You once again for this beautiful day in which You've given us, God. And I pray today, Lord, that we just understand and know the importance of being a part of Your family. Being a part of Your blessings in this life, God, we pray and we thank You for the blessings on this side of heaven, God. But what a glorious day it'll be, Father, when we receive our ultimate blessing by seeing You face to face, God. For anyone who is called upon Your name, God, shall not be, by Your only words, God, by Your words said, will not be cast out from heaven. Oh, what joy it is to have a relationship with You, Father. And I pray today if someone who is in this sanctuary today does not have that relationship with You, Father, may today be the day that they come unto You and You welcome them just as You welcomed those children unto You over 2,000 years ago. Father, we love You. Lord, we praise You. In Your glorious name I pray. Amen.